Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel. Looks like we're living through Klaus Schwab's prophecy of an angrier world. Such a Nostradamus, that guy. Millions of illegals shipped into our cities, turning them into open-air bathrooms. Illegals shitting all over Canadian beaches. You already know what segment this one goes into. The Liberal Party saying we should be happy to have our streets culturally enriched with free fertilizer right here. Matter of fact, here's a new Canadian $50 bill, signed by Trudeau himself. Western nations are being deliberately dismantled with Western cultures systematically erased to pave the way for barbarism. What more needs to be said? If you're not awake to the agenda by now, you're probably boosted and half dead. DEW attacks direct energy weapons destroying entire towns to make way for their 15-minute smart cities. The Canadian dollar is about to be monopoly money soon, and the same is happening in the U.S. too. The U.S. dollar is racing towards worthlessness like it's training for the devaluation Olympics. And speaking of the ultimate twisted satanic spectacle, let's talk about the Sodom and Gomorrah Fest that just took place, otherwise known as the Paris 2024 Olympics. The Olympics went full-blown satanic, I know. Shocking, right? Let's not forget the 2012 London Olympics kicked off with a giant figure of death waving a needle around like it was a magic wand, while doctors and nurses danced like zombies around kids in hospital beds. But hey, relax, just one big coincidence, right? As crazy as it was, the demonic agenda was considered subtle back then, if you can believe that. Well, this time at the Paris 2024 Olympics, they've thrown out subtlety altogether, okay? They threw that shit right out the window. We've got a Last Supper mockery, a celebration of Baal and Moloch, and an opening ceremony that's practically a live-action Book of Revelation. They decided to bring a few of Aleister Crowley's playbook pages to life. And get this, they had an obese woman play Jesus. Yeah, you heard that right. The obese bull dyke right here, who took on the role of Jesus Christ at the Paris Olympics, isn't turning the other cheek as well, okay? She's gearing up for a legal smackdown for anyone that didn't like her performance. Barbara Butch was her name. That's her last name, folks. The jokes write themselves. She proudly identifies as a fat queer Jew, which is hilarious because that's exactly how Eric Cartman would describe her. She is not too thrilled about the online roasting she's been getting, calling it a violent campaign of cyber harassment and defamation. Now she's ready to unleash a flurry of lawsuits, aiming to take down anyone, whether French or foreign, who dares to criticize her divine performance. She's getting her team of lawyers together to threaten anyone that calls her what she calls herself. She will take you to court if you don't accept her for who she is. Because nothing says respect my beliefs like making a satanic mockery of one of the most sacred moments in Christian history, right? And if you had any doubt as to who is in charge here, well, Catholic skater Raisa Leal just won a bronze medal but was told she couldn't praise Jesus Christ. So what did she do? Well, she signed Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in sign language right there for everyone to see. You gotta respect it, but this is how much power the DICs have now, okay? If you mention Jesus, it better be in sign language. But a lot of respect for Raisa Leal for at least quietly protesting amidst a sea of skulls, satanic red lighting, and children trapped in tunnels, because that's totally normal for a sporting event, right? And I know you guys caught this, the single rider on a pale horse straight out of Revelations, folks. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. In Revelations, it mentions a pale horse. In quotes, "And I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of earth." Now let's expand a little more on what this pale horse symbolizes right here. The use of a pale horse ties directly to some of the most ominous symbolism in the book of Revelation. In the Bible, specifically in Revelation 6:8, the pale horse is ridden by death, with Hades following close behind. This imagery represents a harbinger of mortality, pestilence, and divine judgment, symbolizing the devastating impact of death on humanity. The color of the horse course, often described as sickly, corpse-like, pale, or ashen hue, conveys a sense of sickness, decay, and the fragility of human existence. The rider's authority to bring death to a fourth of the earth through various means, such as through the sword, aka war, famine, and even plagues, is a sobering reminder of the ultimate consequences of spiritual and moral decay. The demons in charge knew exactly what they were doing with the symbolism of the pale horse. It's been linked to tough times, spiritual emptiness, and the unavoidable truth of death. The fact that they chose to do this at a global event like the Olympics, which is supposed to be a celebration of unity and human achievement, tells us all we need to know. It goes against the traditional meaning of the pale horse, signaling that those in control are now accelerating society's decline. They are orchestrating a descent into a state of spiritual and moral decay. The pale horse was followed by non-stop LGBT propaganda and a blatant mockery of Jesus Christ. Clearly, this is no coincidence. It's as if they are openly declaring their intentions to push us further into a moral freefall. Those in charge are waving a giant red flag here, or should I say pale, signaling the start of their apocalyptic plans. But using the pale horse, which traditionally represents divine judgment, they're not just hinting. They're basically shouting that they're ready to accelerate their depopulation agenda. Remember, the tranny agenda is just another step in the depopulation plot. And that's not a reach either, people. Remember that in satanic ideology, sitting back and accepting what we see is akin to giving our silent approval. The Luciferians believe that by doing nothing, we're essentially agreeing with their plans. So when they parade a symbol of death and destruction right in front of us at a global event like the Olympics, it's more than just a coincidence. It's a chilling declaration of what's to come. Now, the cherry on top, after this blasphemous spectacle right here, Paris had a power outage. That's right. Looks like all of Paris was hit with a blackout. Well, except for a single church that remained lit up. Weird, right? Take a look right here. The only place that was lit up was a church. Well, I think God has spoken. It's kind of like when George Floyd's mural was struck by lightning. That's right, the lightning managed to strike the side of the building only where the mural was located. Not on the top, where lightning would usually strike. Nope. Just directly at the mural on the side of the building where his face was. Now let's get back to the Olympics, where it ended with a headless Marie Antoinette and a creepy blue Smurf with his nuts hanging out in front of a bunch of kids. So progressive. Now who was the artistic mastermind behind this circus of satanic, Masonic, and LGBTQ imagery? Well, it's none other than Thomas Jolly. Take a look at this man right here, peeps. Notice anything? Well, the man is a Masonic Jew and despises Jesus. Even Ryan Garcia, the young boxer, had a few choice words for him on Twitter. I gotta say, he took the words right out of my mouth. Look, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they broadcast the next Olympics from the Bohemian Grove. This time, sacrificing actual humans in the whole ceremony led by Moloch himself, okay? It's getting wicked out here, folks. The opening of the Paris Olympics made Sodom and Gomorrah look like a teddy bear's picnic. They keep trying to normalize this LGBT propaganda. They want to normalize degeneracy, decadence, and pedophilia. Some sick and twisted people in charge, folks. Is it a coincidence that they were all in Epstein's client list? And these same people are behind the organizing of these events? Promoting symbolism of child pornography? Balenciaga? The Olympics? And basically everything on TV now. They don't want to be taken to prison for what they've done, so they're trying, through the media, to convince us it's all normal. News stories like this constantly popping up. Megan Fox with her three sons that just so happen to identify as girls. Would you look at that? Yeah, okay. You know, nothing to see here, just a totally normal rate of occurrence, right? Just a tranny with three tranny sons. Get over it, you bigot. Here are some other celebrities with transgendered sons, too. Once again, totally normal. The DIC has got some nerve, people. They were in the latest meeting like, okay, look, hear me out. We use trannies to mock Jesus Christ, and then we let men beat the shit out of women for the world to see. Okay? Because that's what the Olympics was all about, you see. Place a hand on a woman in public and you'll be sent to prison. Think about all the people that would rush to save her life. understandably. But throw a wig on and you can KO as many females as you want. In front of the whole world, actually. People cheering on as you beat a woman up. Isn't that messed up? Now, what's crazy to me is Elon Musk, that's right, the Baphomet dressing brain chip free speech hero, said something interesting. Mind-blowing, actually, because I had no idea this was the case. Elon Musk said he was tricked into signing trans documents for his son. He said, "My son Xavier is dead, killed by the woke mind virus." I couldn't believe that he said this. How does a grown-ass man get tricked into signing documents to provide his son puberty blockers? I don't know how you can get tricked into doing that. If I had a son, you'd have to shoot me in my face to get that done to my son. You couldn't trick me like we're playing some kind of board game, okay? And then Xavier, now known as Vivian, Elon's son, responded in a series of posts on Threads. This is what his son said about Elon Musk. "He's desperate for attention and validation from an army of degenerate red-pilled incels and pygmies who are quick to give it to him. Go touch some fucking grass," Vivian says. The nerve of Xavier. Desperate for attention and validation from an army of degenerates? Who is that really? I think you and Daddy have more in common than you think. Also, Vivian denied other claims and accused Elon Musk of getting talking points from Milo Yiannopoulos. "Go touch some grass," he told his father. Which is a really interesting diss, I must say, because it's coming from the most brainwashed loonies spending all of their time on Reddit threads. Justin Trudeau, ladies and gentlemen, said the same thing to Pierre Poilievre. I found this kind of comical because Pierre called out the lesbian softball coach here for his commie tactics, posting this one meme, which does destroy Trudeau, I must say. This one meme kind of lets you know where the leftists are at and what they're trying to do. He destroyed Trudeau so much that Trudeau had to respond, and all Trudeau said was, "Go touch some grass." Oh, isn't that funny? I guess this is the new insult. It's like the go-to insult for all these trannies. You know, go touch some grass. How about you get in touch with reality? Throwing a wig on doesn't make you a woman. Just like Justin Trudeau, forcing himself to kiss women doesn't make him straight. Okay, we know what's going on here, Trudeau. Time to come out. Oh, and just a reminder, in the Bible, demons also refer to themselves as they, them, we, us. That's right. Respect the DIC's pronouns, okay? Just saying, it's an interesting connection here. As you can see here, absolute insanity. You got biological men beating up women. The woman quit after 45 seconds and cries hysterically as her opponent is declared the winner. This is absolutely insane. You know, what feminism used to be about was women's rights and actually caring about the real hardships that women have to go through. What feminism has become is only fighting for the right to kill their babies. That's it. Okay, when they see something like this, they won't even fight for it. They're like, yeah, well, that's normal. You can throw a wig on and declare that you're a woman and then beat the shit out of women. Totally fine for the feminists. They won't fight for that. And it happened again, folks. Lin Yu Ting, a biological male, just won the women's boxing match. This is insane, people. That's a straight up dude. Oh my God. How insane is this? Just dudes KOing women left and right. I can't believe it. This just in, Mike Tyson threw on a wig. Oh, you ladies are in for it now. Equal rights, right? And also equal lefts. All jokes aside, the Paris Olympics are disgusting and truly demonic in every sense of the word. But it looks like people aren't having it because at the Olympics, they are slashing ticket prices, in some cases down to 12 euros, because no one wants to see what they have there. I don't think it's about money at all, though. This has nothing to do with money. Just like in Hollywood, they've been losing a lot of money with their woke garbage they've been promoting in all of these movies. They don't care. They keep going along with it, ruining every movie with more woke leftist propaganda, and they are losing money, and they don't care in the slightest because it has nothing to do with money. These institutions have been taken over by some demonic individuals pushing an agenda. They don't care about your money anymore. Hollywood was once about making money. Now it's not that at all. Certain intelligence agencies have taken over many of these major institutions, and we can see it here. Here's the Olympics right here, summed up in one picture. A bunch of trannies laughing at a woman as she lost to a man in a boxing match. There you have it, folks. What more needs to be said? Now, a Star Trek episode aired in 1995, and they predicted in this episode what will take place in 2024. And man, were they on point. Check this out.
What is this place?
Sanctuary District.
21st century history is not one of my strong points. Too depressing.
It's been a hobby of mine. They made some ugly mistakes, but they also paved the way for a lot of things we now take for granted.
I assume this is one of those mistakes.
A bad one. By the early 2020s, there was a place like this in every major city in the United States.
Oh. Why are these people in here? Are they criminals?
No, people with criminal records weren't allowed in the sanctuary districts.
Then what do they do to deserve this?
Nothing. Just people. Without jobs or places to live.
So they get put in here?
Welcome to the 21st century, Doctor.
Crazy, right? In the early 2020s, he said, a sanctuary in every city looking like Mad Max. And could that be the case in the near future? The same man that predicted Donald Trump get grazed in the ear, shot so close to his ear that it drew blood. That same man also predicts a financial reckoning coming soon. Could that be the case in the near future? Your parents telling you to save up because you might need the money in the future. Well, the future looks like Mad Max and money might be worthless soon. So I would say stock up on essentials, guns, ammunition, canned food, because you never know what's around the corner. The USA's national debt has reached a whopping $35 trillion. Now, the only thing more insane than that are the solutions the DICs have to fix things. In the latest episode of Let's Spend Money We Don't Have, the U.S. has just announced another $1.7 billion in military aid to Ukraine. That's right, it's like while we struggle to comprehend the astronomical amount of $35 trillion in debt, the government is busy writing another hefty check. It's almost like there's a deliberate effort into devaluing the dollar. Think about it. We're apparently drowning in debt, $35 trillion, but somehow there's always some spare change left for another conflict overseas. It's like finding money in between your car seat cushions, and instead of saving it, you throw it at the nearest geopolitical hotspot. The future looks like a mix of economic chaos and endless military spending. They are devaluing the dollar on purpose, setting the stage for a global conflict as the only solution, in quotes, to fix things. They want us to believe that another world war, like World War II, will pull the U.S. out of poverty and restore its power. But this time, it's a lie. The goal isn't to rebuild, but to destroy the current superpowers. There won't be any defaulting this time, only mass depopulation. The new system they're looking to install after the collapse will be a dystopian nightmare if they get their way. A China-style digital slavery state, digital IDs, CBDCs, yada, yada, yada. You know the deal. The world as we know it is being dismantled to create a future where control is absolute and freedom is a distant memory. Since 2020, the U.S. has added a staggering $12 trillion to the federal debt, averaging around $280 billion of debt every single month since January 2020. That's enough money to buy everyone in the country a lifetime supply of avocado toast. That amounts to every American owing about $105,000 in federal debt. Congratulations, folks. You're all debt millionaires in the most depressing way possible. To make things even more thrilling, deficit spending as a percentage of GDP is now at World War II levels. And who the hell are we in debt to? They never tell you that, huh? The Decepticons? The wizard rubbing his hands behind the curtains? Since January 2020, the debt has ballooned by 50%, jumping from $23 trillion to $35 trillion. And if that wasn't enough, interest on the debt is skyrocketing with higher rates, averaging around 5% lately. This means interest payments are on pace to hit $1.5 trillion next year, which is about 30% of all government revenue collected. So how can this possibly end well? Well, spoiler alert, folks, it won't. Okay, there's going to be some financial fireworks coming soon. And when we declare bankruptcy, who will bail us out this time? Maybe Israel? I don't know. Imagine the U.S. giving up its sovereignty, burning the Constitution, and becoming the United States of Israel. But just think about where we are headed if this continues. you can guarantee a major conflict of some kind or a manufactured cataclysm is on the horizon. They're going to need a way to take attention off of this debt bubble, a financial crisis that they've created. They don't want to go to prison for what they've done. The biggest theft in history has taken place. They're going to need some kind of major event to take people's attention off of what they've done and to reset the system. And of course, this is just conspiracy talk. After all, it's not like they have a book called Great Reset explaining exactly how they're going to do this step by step. No, there is zero chance things are just going to keep going as they are without something breaking. Clearly, because at this rate, by mid-2026, the U.S. national debt is projected to hit $40 trillion. With interest rates at 5%, that means they'll need $2 trillion a year just to cover the interest. Considering the U.S. government rakes in about $5 trillion a year in revenue alone, this means 40% of it will now go straight to interest payments. It's like having a credit card with a balance so high, you need another credit card just to pay the interest. And we know they are moving pieces into place to trigger a world war. You will be given your heroes when it's too late, as I predicted. When all else fails, they take you to war. You know the motto, folks. The controlled collapse continues. Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? Take a look at this picture right here, showing the U.S. dollar's purchasing power from 1913 to now. The U.S. dollar, once a proud symbol of economic might, now a mere shadow of its former self. This chart right here reveals the dollar's tragic fall, and it keeps going on a downward spiral right here. This pic right here is illustrating the staggering loss of purchasing power over the last century. Now let's dive into this. Now this whole plot began in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act, creating a central bank and setting the stage for a grand scheme. The elites knew that by controlling the money supply, they could control everything. By 1933, President Roosevelt criminalized the possession of gold, effectively removing the dollar's real value. This was step two of the plot to detach the dollar from gold, making sure your money was just paper and ink. The Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944 established the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, making everyone dependent on the dollar before pulling the rug out from underneath them. In 1971, Nixon ended the gold standard, turning the dollar into monopoly money. This unshackling of the dollar from gold ensured it would be subject to the whims of those in power. The financial crisis of 2008 brought in quantitative easing, a fancy term for let's just print more money to solve this. This move was designed to inject liquidity, or to put it simply, just to inflate the currency and further devalue your hard-earned dollars. The final blow came in 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, when the money supply grew by $3.3 trillion. That's right. In 1 year, 20% of all dollars ever created were printed, flooding the market with dollars and accelerating the collapse. From 1913 to 2020, the dollar has lost over 95% of its purchasing power. What could get you 30 Hershey's chocolate bars in 1913 can now barely get you a McDonald's coffee. This dramatic decrease isn't just economic mismanagement. It's a part of a grand scheme here to create a dependency on an increasingly worthless currency. The true purpose behind this engineered collapse is to usher in a new era of digital currency controlled by a select few, ensuring total financial surveillance and control. Those in charge don't want you to have financial freedom. They want you to be a cog in their digital dystopia. Now, this is a century-long plot to strip you of your purchasing power and independence. But hey, at least we can afford a McDonald's coffee, right? For now. Now, doesn't it seem a little weird that Donald Trump has been making appearances at Bitcoin conferences? A move that seems quite suspicious here. Known for his previous skepticism towards cryptocurrency, his sudden excitement for digital currency seems quite unusual, considering in 2019, he did tweet this: "I am not a fan of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies which are not money and whose value is highly volatile and based on thin air." He also mentioned that unregulated crypto assets could facilitate illegal activities such as drug trade and other unlawful behavior. Says right here, his administration took a relatively cautious stance against cryptocurrencies, emphasizing the need for regulatory oversight and often highlighting the risks associated with their use. His Treasury Secretary at the time was quite vocal about the potential dangers of cryptocurrency, calling them a national security issue. But his shift right now in his stance sounds like he might be privy to some inside information, perhaps something monumental on the horizon, a big event that could trigger a great reset. Could it be that Trump is aware of an impending reset on the current financial system? His rush to transition into a new digital currency hints at preparations for some kind of economic upheaval, one that could fundamentally alter the landscape of global finance forever. And get this, even Warren Buffett dumped half of his Apple stock. I mean, clearly they have an agenda at play here or something. They know something is coming. World war? Economic collapse? Clearly they are preparing for something in the near future. An apocalyptic event. These billionaires are rushing to build their billionaire bunkers, selling all their stocks, transitioning over into a digital system. I mean, clearly they have something coming. And get this, the DICs are seriously talking about creating a $1 trillion platinum coin to solve our debt problem. You know? Yeah, because, you know, when you're drowning in debt, why not just print more fake money and call it a day? They think they can just make some magic coin and dump it into the Federal Reserve like it's some kind of wishing well for financial disasters, even bypassing Congress. They're basically trying to duct tape a collapsing dam and hoping we don't notice. And those heavily redacted documents, as seen right here, yeah, they're pretty much confirming that the people running this show know the dollar's on its deathbed. They're just scrambling for any lifeboat before the whole ship sinks. You really don't think there's a connection here from the dollar collapse to all this worldwide chaos? They are desperate for a global conflict. They need a financial reset and they need it soon. Lebanon is gearing up for a huge retaliation after Israel bombed Beirut, with the streets echoing chants of Labeika Ya Hussein. Now, looking into what that means, I guess it's a war cry for vengeance and resistance, invoking the spirit of martyrdom over there and unwavering defiance against what is seen as Israel's oppressive aggression. It signals a grim determination to retaliate and defend at all costs. Hezbollah sent thousands of missiles pointed straight at Tel Aviv, and they're ready to unleash chaos that could overwhelm the Iron Dome, or what they call the Iron Dome. I don't even know what it is, really. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. United States plans to bolster its defensive capabilities in the Middle East to protect American forces and help defend Israel, the Pentagon said on Friday. $35 trillion in debt. What do? More wars. Now, this is quite interesting here. It's like they're preparing for something. It's like they want two religions to team up against, I don't know who. As you can see here, newest Russian recruitment ad signals unity between all religions and people of Russia. Shows a bunch of Russian military men on the battlefield. One is praying to Jesus, saying the famous Jesus prayer, and one is praying to Muhammad, as seen here. This is their latest recruitment ad. He really said that. Oh my God, he really said that. That's really funny. Very interesting, because there's one religion that seems to be left out here. What do you guys think is happening? I'm seriously starting to think that Albert Pike prediction is really accurate. The people behind the scenes know exactly what the final battle will consist of. And it seems like they're preparing right now, moving the pieces in place for that final battle. It's kind of terrifying to think about, because they just bombed one of Beirut's most densely populated areas, targeting civilians. This isn't self-defense, people. They just literally committed an act of terror here, plain and simple. And let's not pretend that Washington isn't in on it. You don't bomb a residential area if you're trying to keep the peace, okay? Russia has called out Israel's strikes as a clear violation of international law. Meanwhile, Turkish President Erdogan is warning that Israel is a threat not just to Lebanon and Palestine, but to the entire world. He's even ready to send Turkish forces if Israel steps into Lebanon. This is some geopolitical chess going on right here. Israel isn't just playing defense either, okay? It's executing a long-laid plan to redraw the map under the guise of self-preservation. The Greater Israel Project is decades in the making, and this last battle, they hope, will gain them more ground. As Iran gears up Hezbollah with electromagnetic pulse weapons, this is what they say, EMP warheads, tools capable of flipping the switch on Israel's entire infrastructure. It's almost like they're preparing for the final act of a show Israel's been scripting for decades. They're saying Iran has just supplied Hezbollah with EMP weapons. Let's go over what's taking place right now, because this is... seems like it's building up for some kind of major battle here. A state of alert has been sounded across Iran. Iranian television is rebroadcasting the Iran-Iraq war anthem to notify citizens of the alert status. They're saying war is incoming. I mean, the WEF did predict this, you know, state of polycrisis. When World War III is announced, they're also going to say, oh, would you look at that, bird flu is also here too. So while people kill each other with bombs and bullets, they'll also rain down toxins and chemtrails, making sure the depopulation plot goes accordingly, okay? 90% by the year 2030. And some are predicting that those D-Eagle reports are very much accurate if a financial collapse takes place, because many don't understand what that would look like. If your dollar is worthless, the grocery stores will be stripped bare real quick. Just think about what happened during COVID and people fighting over toilet paper. If you think that was bad, imagine money being worthless. Imagine the dollar collapsing. The death and destruction that would follow would be apocalyptic. And as you see right here, Israeli ministers receive satellite phones in preparation for possible Iranian retaliation. I really think they're all in on it to trigger this financial reset. Those in charge in many countries know what would happen if a financial collapse took place. So right now they're teaming up, trying to pull off a worldwide depopulation plot so they can reset the whole system where they come out on top. As always, it's always going to benefit the DICs. Doesn't matter which country it is, okay? They're all in on the plan. How do we know? Because guaranteed, none of them will be affected after 90% population reduction. They'll be living in their mansions. They'll be in the Elysium ring in the sky while the whole world suffers in pain. Millennials living through Y2K, 9/11, a plague, two economic recessions, and a possible World War III before they hit 40. Oh my God, if that's not accurate. Now, more chaos taking place here. Netanyahu's recent promise to exact a high price, a very high price, for any act of defiance is less about deterrence and more about paving the way for the final push. With every calculated move, Israel's turning the screws tighter, not just on its enemies, but on the entire region, while the world watches, oblivious to the bigger picture unfolding. Now, just to add more fuel to the fire, U.S. warships are now moving towards the coast of Lebanon. This conflict is being deliberately escalated to create chaos and control, leading us into a carefully orchestrated global crisis. I'm serious, folks. This is serious, people. Buckle up. It's about to get wild here. Now, would Israel stage a false flag just to drag us into their wars? No chance, right? Look, it's not like they haven't tried this before. Just look at the Levon affair. In the summer of 1954, Israel conducted a covert operation, codenamed Operation Sasana, in Egypt. As part of this false flag operation, Israeli military intelligence recruited a group of Egyptian Jews to plant bombs in Egyptian, American, and British-owned civilian targets, such as cinemas, libraries, and educational centers. The plan was to blame these attacks on the Muslim Brotherhood, Egyptian communities, and other local groups to create enough chaos and violence to convince the British to keep their troops in Egypt's Suez Canal zone. The operation, however, failed. This is what the mainstream says, resulting in the deaths of four operatives and the arrest of 11 others. This historical precedent shows how far they are willing to go to manipulate global politics. Here is an interesting tweet from someone bringing up what Netanyahu said the day of 9/11. I lived 2 miles north of the World Trade Center on 9/11. I can never forget what Netanyahu said that night when it was initially believed that around 20,000 Americans had died. When asked about the impact of the attacks on U.S.-Israeli relations, he responded with, "It's very good." He then corrected himself, saying, "Well, not very good, but it will generate immediate sympathy." He predicted the attack would strengthen the bond between the two countries, as the U.S. had now experienced a major terrorist attack similar to what Israel had faced for decades. Would you look at that? A major false flag that kills thousands that somehow benefits Israel. Wow. Now, isn't it just highly unusual how Israel was on the brink of civil war with people furious at Netanyahu's government and demanding his removal? Then conveniently, the October 7th attack occurs, transforming Netanyahu into a Zelensky-like hero figure, a wartime president. This false flag terrorist attack miraculously unites Israelis, making them forget about their disdain for Netanyahu and rally behind him instead. And suddenly, he's popping up in the States, in Congress, you know, giving these speeches where he gets standing ovations. Everyone's giving him standing ovations like he's the next president of the United States. He couldn't go 1 minute without getting a standing ovation over everything he said. I just find it weird AF that both left and right are cheering him on like some kind of savior. He got a bunch of cheerleaders in the Congress. How many Epstein blackmailed politicians are there in that building? Refer back to that meme. I'm going to tell my kids this was Epstein's island. You're damn right. How many are paid off or blackmailed to support this man right here? Biden loves him and Donald Trump loves him too. Donald Trump even tweeted this. "If they do assassinate President Trump, which is always a possibility, I hope that America obliterates Iran, wipes it off the face of the earth. If that does not happen, American leaders will be considered gutless cowards." It's almost as if this was the plan all along, right? All roads seem to point towards a war with Iran, which is really funny because in the last podcast, I mentioned all of this. You know, saying, does anyone remember that Iran put a hit out on Trump? It was like in the millions. I forgot how much money it was. They put out a big hit on Donald Trump. I brought it up saying they'll probably link this alleged assassination attempt on Trump to Iran soon. Imagine this scenario. Trump comes back into office, suddenly finds new evidence that Iran was behind an assassination attempt, and then, of course, starts a war with Iran. Think about it. The things happening to Trump right now are making people devoted to him, almost as if he's some kind of messiah-like figure. It's like the masses are being conditioned to believe he is some kind of savior, gaining people's trust as a Jesus-like figure, only to use that loyalty to later send people to war. And if people believe he is the savior that will change everything and bring about peace, they will do anything he asks for. If you don't believe me, just look at the endless articles comparing Trump to Jesus. If I saved all of the articles that I see promoting this comparison, I would run out of storage on my computer. Truly mind-boggling. The articles are in the thousands. If you think about it, right now, ain't nobody going to war with Iran for Biden and Harris. These people are unlikable scumbags. So they need someone to gain the public's trust, okay? I mean, you think Canadians are going to war for Trudeau? Hell no. We'll have Pierre Poilievre in here, Trump in the States, our so-called heroes here to save the day and drain the swamp. Take down the deep state. Go after the evil NWO by going to war with Iran, of course. And speaking of using others to do their dirty work, let's talk about Israel's Netanyahu literally bringing his dirty laundry to Washington. Seriously, he brings actual suitcases of dirty laundry for U.S. staff to clean for free. A perk meant for all foreign leaders, but rarely used because, you know, they're usually too busy running their countries. But not Bibi. One U.S. official spilled the beans, saying, "The Netanyahus are the only ones who bring actual suitcases of dirty laundry for us to clean." After multiple trips, it became clear this was intentional. So while Netanyahu gets his literal dirty laundry cleaned by the U.S., he's also getting his figurative dirty work done as well, using America to handle conflicts and push agendas. Push agendas that serve Israel. Just like he's getting his socks washed for free, he's getting the U.S. to foot the bill for his geopolitical chess games. And now, with the stage set for a potential war with Iran, it's all part of a grand plan here where the dirty laundry might just be the least dirty thing happening. Trump often quoted the snake lyrics in his speeches, which goes something like this. A kind woman takes in a half-frozen snake, warms it, feeds it, only for the snake to bite her fatally. When she asks why, the snake replies, "You knew I was a snake when you took me in." Now, of course, Trump relates this to illegals being brought in by the millions, but it's almost like he was saying, really, you knew what you were getting into with me. He's setting himself up as a savior, only to lead his followers into another devastating conflict. The final battle playing out in front of all of us right now. And all of this is to benefit, well, you already know. Trump just recently said, if you don't vote for me, you won't have Israel for very long. What? Well, that just gained Kamala Harris a few million easy votes right there. Let's not forget in 2012, Patrick Clausen, a researcher at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, suggested that Israel should consider employing a false flag operation to justify a war with Iran. He argued that historically the U.S. has often only entered conflicts after being attacked, sometimes through staged incidents. Clausen proposed that Israel should increase pressure on Iran by orchestrating a scenario where Iran appears to attack first to provoke a military response and garner international support for action against Iran. Now we see a video of a single Hamas terrorist releasing a video protesting Paris and the Olympics, ending with the chilling warning, "Rivers of blood will flow through the streets of Paris." The video concludes with a Hamas member allegedly holding a severed female's head. Could this be the next major false flag to trigger a world war? We're already seeing articles like Palestinian Olympic threat video fake. They're saying it might be of Russian origin. Sources, experts, I don't know. Always the experts. The reports suggest that this video claiming to threaten attacks on the Paris Olympic Games might be a fabricated piece of propaganda of Russian origin, according to security sources and experts. Now we know many Jews in power here in the West have been purposely flooding our nations with illegals, mostly Muslims. Now this is of course done to create a convincing false flag soon. Okay, this is why if anything takes place at the Paris Olympics, they want you to blame the obvious suspects. Okay, and the only solution is getting those Hezbollah terrorists in Iran. Let's listen again, shall we?
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive. Europe will not survive. Europe will not survive. Europe will not survive. Survive.
Oh, wow. You think she feels the same way about Israel? Does she want to keep Israel that monolithic, ethnically pure state? Maybe she should flood her own country with millions of immigrants. No, it's only Europe, right? Unreal. She even said, Jews will be resented for their leading role in forcing multiculturalism in Europe. Oh, would you look at that. Her name's Emily Goldstein. And years back, we see rabbis saying this, Islamization of Europe, a good thing. Rabbi over here believes Jews should rejoice at the fact that Europe is paying for what they did to us for hundreds of years by losing its identity. He praises Islam for promoting modesty, respect for God. That's right. So some Jews believe this is their revenge for the Crusades, the persecution of Jews in Europe, and the Holocaust. They want to destroy Europe because they believe it's Europe's karma and the people of Europe deserve it. Just look at what's happening in Europe right now. Children are being stabbed to death on the streets of Europe. Four stories, four countries, all in the past year. Always migrants, every time. And it's only going to get worse until we start sending them home. There is a story right here, absolutely barbaric, out of Europe. A 17-year-old was arrested in connection with a series of stabbings at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class in Southport, which resulted in the deaths of at least three young girls. Described by neighbors as a quiet and introverted individual who rarely left his home, the teenager lived with his parents, who had emigrated from Rwanda to the UK. Yep, diversity is our strength, right? Neighbors expressed shock over the incident, noting that the boy was particularly attached to his mother and came from a hard-working family trying to make a living in the UK. The family had previously lived in Cardiff before moving to Southport. The attacks have left the community in disbelief, with a heavy police presence and floral tributes marking the scene of the tragedy. And what's more messed up was that the vigil for the dead children, a man was arrested brandishing a knife. That's right, in Southport, near the vigil for the three children who were stabbed to death. The man was arrested, as seen here, while the locals held a vigil and memorial for the three girls, aged 6, 7, and 9. Now, if you don't see what's happening here, I don't know what to tell you. The demons in charge are flooding these nations with all these illegals and shaking the wasp nest, so to speak, incentivizing these barbarians to go out and murder as many people as they can to stoke the flames of a civil and even world war, a final battle that will be somewhat biblical. This is the purpose of all of this. Just look at what has been happening in the UK the past couple of months leading up to this. Muslims burning entire cities down, as seen right here, not even sure what this was over. And of course, the scumbags at the MSM called it a community riot. That's right. When, of course, we heard the good old Allahu Akbar in all the videos. What was that about?
Oh my fucking dude. Allahu
Akbar! You only hear Allahu Akbar during beheading videos. I don't know how they turned Allahu Akbar into the "for he's a jolly good fellow" of beheading videos. Oh my God, I forgot which comedian said that, but it was so gold. But after these stabbings right here, this is what happened. People seem to be destroying their own neighborhoods in a similar fashion. It's like deja vu with the Roma chaos in Hare Hills. Setting your streets ablaze won't fix anything, of course. But this seems to be, once again, by design, if you think about it. And if you think this is bad right here, wait till you see the solutions. Oh yeah, that's right. They're already announcing a China-style surveillance grid in the UK over this. Who could have saw that coming? Check this out.
It's announced today that following this meeting, we will establish a national capability across police forces to tackle violent disorder. These thugs are mobile. They move from community to community. And we must have a policing response that can do the same. Shared intelligence, wider deployment of facial recognition technology.
Oh, wow.
And preventative action, criminal behaviour orders to restrict their movements.
Oh, cool.
Before they can
God.
Even board a train. In just the same way that we do with football hooligans. And let me also say to large social media companies and those who run them, violent disorder clearly whipped up online, that is also a crime.
Oh.
It's happening on your premises. And the law must be upheld everywhere.
Wow, what a scumbag. So yeah, we're going to bring in millions of migrants, they're going to stab your kids to death, and if you even say anything negative about it online, we're going to send you to prison. Okay? And of course, it's Sir Keir Starmer, the WEF puppet, once again. Always the same with these scumbags. The UK has officially fallen. Isn't that absolutely dreadful and heartbreaking? What was once known as Great Britain is now British Arabia. Meanwhile, the chaos in Southport, as shown right here, with bricks flying near mosques and police cars up in flames, it looks like a carefully orchestrated mess right here. It's like everyone's a puppet, but they're unknowingly playing their part in this grand scheme where cultures are clashing, okay, by design. They want to stir up as much chaos as possible. We must prepare for an angrier world, Klaus Schwab said. Why? So they can pass these sneaky laws right here. While everyone is too distracted by the conflict to see who's actually pulling the strings, don't get it twisted, folks. This isn't just a spontaneous shit show. It's a strategy decades in the making. People are being played like extras, like pawns in a bigger drama here. The real masterminds are sipping their adrenochrome while shaking up the wasp's nest. The show's just getting started, folks. If people don't wake up to the agenda and notice how they're being used, then they deserve everything that's coming to them. You ain't seen nothing yet. At the same time, I do understand the anger these people have. Children being stabbed to death. I mean, how much more can people take? I hope people wake up and direct their anger to the politicians promoting this garbage, multiculturalism, passing bills to bring in more illegals, seriously targeting those that are behind this clearly targeted destruction of Western nations. Targeting police is not going to cut it, okay? As seen in this video right here. Someone said this is what happens when you target children. Showing police getting attacked right here. Why go after the mindless drones here with no thoughts whatsoever? They're being used as New World Order minions. There are people in charge passing these bills, you know. They are satanic, they are evil, and they want the worst for you and your children. Maybe you should do something about it. Gabin on Twitter made a great point here. If it were a native English fella who stabbed Muslims or migrant children, the UK would be on fire right now. Absolutely correct. The UK is clearly headed for a civil war or something here, okay? And it's the same thing in so many Western nations. You can't tell me this isn't by design here. If the people of the land don't fight back, then their history and cultures will be erased. There clearly is an agenda here. They want people riled up. They want Christians up to their limit with anger. Why do you think the organizers behind the 2024 Paris Olympic ceremony did what they did? You think it's by accident? The scumbags made a mockery of Christianity? A satanic tranny fest making fun of Christians? These people want chaos. Now, I want to get into this because this stabbing seems highly unusual, just like the alleged shooter in the Trump assassination attempt, in quotes, was in a Black Rock ad. This stabbing in Southport seems highly suspicious. It's like it was done MK Ultra style, another calculated event designed to incite chaos and fuel civil unrest. By doing so, those in power aim to justify implementing a digital surveillance state in the UK, similar to China's. The suspect's name is Axel Redakabana. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Now, here's something weird about this. This person here appeared in a BBC Children in Need advert. Let me guess, it was produced by BlackRock too? Because this is some weird stuff. And the removal of this video by the BBC has people thinking it's even more suspicious than usual. A lot of people are believing that this event was manufactured by these intelligence agencies to manipulate public sentiment and to push forward a more authoritarian agenda. The narrative being pushed is the classic problem-reaction-solution here. Create a crisis, stoke public fear, and then present a pre-planned solution. In this case, it's going to be digital IDs and heightened surveillance. Guaranteed. And of course, riots erupted following the attack, with police and emergency vehicles targeted. It's seen as a part of a kind of engineered chaos. Now, I'm not saying children weren't stabbed, because of course, children die in these events all the time. But if you look into it, it almost seems like this is a child actor that pulled this off. There was a protester also arrested in front of a Masonic number, you know what I'm talking about, 33. It just adds so much suspicion into the event. It's becoming clear that the Southport incident, coupled with the BBC connection, is being used to stir the pot of civil unrest intentionally. And the aim, of course, is to force people into accepting draconian measures that will further take more of their rights and freedoms away. As you see, Keir Starmer came out right away talking about the plan. Unbelievable. If you want to know who was behind the problem, just look at the solutions. Always under the guise of just protecting you, of course. Another calculated move designed to usher in a new era of digital control and surveillance. Similar to what we see in China today. Has nothing to do with keeping you safe. It's all about controlling you. It's crazy. While people are distracted, they're doing this behind the scenes. It's insane.
They say Aldi Fresh, but their salads contain bioengineered food ingredients.
Bioengineered
food? Their bagels contain bioengineered food ingredients. Not so fresh.
Oh no.
Even their granola bars or fruit bars.
Bioengineered
food. Contains bioengineered food ingredients.
That's crazy. Cause as much chaos as possible and replace all our foods in the grocery stores with bioengineered, genetically modified, Bill Gates-funded meat and produce. Unbelievable. And as you see here, the climate change agenda carries on. Welcome to the new world where forest management means watching your town turn into a barbecue pit while the government pats itself on the back for a job well done. Jasper, Alberta just got the deluxe treatment, folks. 30% off the map in a fiery blaze. With the kind of intensity that turns a wildfire into a full-blown apocalypse, the DICs are now literally playing with fire. While the lesbian tyrant is off building sandcastles in Tofino, as seen right here, the scumbag, blissfully ignoring the ashes of 25,000 evacuated souls. But hey, it's all part of the plan, right? Just another day in the life of a government too busy burning down rural areas to bother with a press conference. And of course, they're going to blame the climate boogeyman for this one, because nothing says agenda like a scorched earth policy. I was going to say, the DICs are going scorched earth. They definitely are. Let's talk about the pattern here. Five cities, five catastrophic fires. From Paradise in 2020 to Jasper in 2024, it's almost like someone's playing with a global game of connected dots using a flamethrower. Direct energy weapons, folks. Those are not just sci-fi fantasies, people. They are definitely using this tech. How do we know? Well, just pay attention to the solutions, okay? From Maui, Chile, Texas, and now the Jasper fires. These are not accidents. They are well-orchestrated, precise, intentional, and oh-so-convenient for pushing the climate narrative and 15-minute cities. Forget climate change. The advanced tech like HAARP and chemtrails are tinkering with the weather, all under the watchful eye of the cult. You think they care about the environment? Please. This is about control, plain and simple. The new playbook, climate change lockdowns, okay? The same flavor as the Rona 19 lockdowns, but with a green twist. No more meat, no more cars, just a cozy little existence in your slavery 15-minute city, digital shackles on your feet, all to prevent the climate from changing. For the planet, of course. It's not about saving polar bears, okay? It's about the DICs using more ways to pull the strings. They're not just burning down forests. This is the ultimate power grab. And isn't this just a coincidence here? Just a few months before Jasper went up in flames like a Hollywood disaster flick, we've got council members already writing about the idea of a 15-minute city. Matter of fact, months back, it was complete with an eye-opening inspiration from a national housing conference. The ink was barely dry on the report about legalizing density and ending exclusionary zoning. When poof, Jasper is suddenly looking like it could be Canada's answer to Maui. And you guys remember what happened last year in Maui, where they had plans for a 15-minute city before the place was mysteriously turned into a giant campfire. Now Jasper's following the same script here. Always seems to be a plan already in place to turn the spot into an AI-controlled prison. Just another coincidence, of course. It's insane seeing some of this footage coming out of Jasper. Looks like half the city is gone. I mean, this is some wild stuff, and you've seen documents come out of them planning to build some kind of highly dense slavery state right there, resembling Hong Kong. Just another coincidence, of course. Now let's carry on here. What is going on in some airports recently? Now, before I get into this, I'm going to say in BC, Bonnie Henry, chief health officer, in BC has lifted the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. I didn't even think this was still in place. It's absolutely insane to think about. Okay, so much chaos in the world. I wasn't even covering this. It's crazy to know that these healthcare workers had to stay up to date with poison death shots just to keep their jobs. Bonnie is truly a satanic witch, okay? In Guelph, Ontario, mask mandates are back in healthcare settings. So I think Bonnie will soon do the same thing here, including reintroducing vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. It's like this forever cycle that will never end. Okay, first they introduce it, they lift it, and then they bring it back. No one is complaining. The fact that doctors and nurses automatically throw on a mask and make you wear one as soon as you enter a hospital, whenever Bonnie Henry says so, a lot of them will get security to throw you out if you say you don't want to wear a mask in a hospital. Don't ask me how I know that. But it lets you know where these healthcare professionals are at mentally. Totally brainwashed zombies over there in hospitals. Ask yourself why no one was dying on the streets of COVID, okay? Nobody was dropping dead from COVID in the streets. Nobody was dying in their homes from COVID. Why? Because they were all murdered in the hospitals in order to paint the illusion that COVID was a serious threat, the non-existent COVID. But what do they have planned soon? Well, I'm getting reports of some craziness at the airports here. If you're listening, I want you to reach out to me and let me know if you're experiencing this as well, because this is insane. It's like they're already gearing up for the next pandemic. And right now they're poisoning people, covertly poisoning them in order to get people sick in mass so they can declare the next pandemic. Someone here named Jack Straw on Twitter says, LaGuardia, CDC swabbing just received from a friend. Just got a call from a friend in NYC at LaGuardia Airport. The CDC is there and they are swabbing every person coming off of every plane. Friend says they are wearing double masks and not answering any questions as to why they are doing it. Friend says they've never seen anything like it, even during COVID. August 2nd, 2024. Now, this is a great reply here because I thought the same exact thing. My fear is the swabs are the infection transmitter, not the passengers. That was suspected for COVID as well. Absolutely. The swabs were proven not to be able to verify anything. Some of them were even toxic. Be careful. They're forcing this toxic poison up people's noses right now with fake PCR tests that don't check for anything. And when people get sick in mass, what do you think they're going to blame? Bird flu? Oh, what a great meme here. I'm going to finish this off with this meme. They're doing it again because you didn't hang them last time. That's right. And that's where I'm going to leave it, folks. This is getting long here. If you like what I do here, links are in the description for ways to support this podcast. Everything you see here, done by myself. So if you appreciate the effort that goes into this, it is greatly appreciated. You hit those links in the description. Maybe send a one-time donation. Become a monthly subscriber on Patreon or Subscribestar. You will be an MVP of the podcast, and you will be responsible for keeping it going. Or purchase the Eyes Wide Open coffee, great organic coffee from Gustavus, Alaska. Or for my crypto people out there, crypto wallets are in the description, or send me mail. I got the mail PO box address in the description of this video. So please consider hitting those links in the description and helping your boy out. Until next week, folks, until next time, this is Steve Eyes. You're on the Eyes is Watching channel, signing off.